Hey.
Yes.
Do you like the new ice I got?
We don't have any ice.
No, no.
No, the kids used all of the ice.
Nope, nope.
They were licking it. They were putting it in between their toes. They were sticking it down their pants, and now we have no ice.
All right, that is officially better than my joke.
All right, hey, what was your joke? What was your joke?
It wasn't a joke. It didn't count as a joke. It was just a thing to say, Damien. So.
All right. Oh, hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Sorry you had to hear that. Sorry you had to hear what will follow for the next. No, we're all here to have a good time. I want to apologize for missing our podcast last week. We had an equipment breakdown, and we just didn't have the mental wherewithal to figure out a workaround, so no, we took the week off. Yeah. And we appreciate everybody's patience, and sucks to be you. We're back again.
And so. I think it's a good time to sort of re-ca-jigger what
sure.
we're doing a little bit.
We could re-ca-jigger.
We could, because usually what we do is we come up, well, you come up with a list of stories.
Yep.
To
things that struck my fancy over the course of the week.
Yeah.
That I feel like talking about.
And I felt that was too much work.
Okay.
And I figured we could just like talk about stuff.
All right. And it's okay with me. We'll see how it goes.
Wait, I'm taking a sip of my drink.
Okay. All right. Well, as I understand it, Damien.
Wait, full warning.
Sure.
I haven't eaten today.
That's not true.
I've had some wine. Oh, I had a candy bar.
And he went
coffee.
Running, and he wrote, what, four news stories. He had a candy bar.
Oh,
what,
it was I'm a getting Snickers some good bar? Stuff, too. Yeah, and I had a Snickers. I might have had a bag of chips, too.
Was it, whose name was on the Snickers bar? Wait a minute.
It was Wade?
Was it Hector?
Hector? It was not Hector.
Remember that time when you
no,
put your driver's license?
No, I think it was like
license?
Shazam.
No, that's not a name.
It is, too.
Is that racist?
Shazam?
To say that's not a name. Because what if it is?
Probably. Everything's racist now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in the future, everybody will be racist for 15 minutes. That's
sounds good. If we can just get it all out of the way at once, maybe.
All right. Well, this podcast is going to be more than 15 minutes long,
so
we'll see if we can exceed our quotas.
Well, anyway, what I'm warning you is I'm drinking whiskey and on an empty stomach, so things might get kind of weird.
We also went running, and we finished with a hill that we didn't have to do. We decided
we
were
ass.
Such hotshots that we went out to run up the hill, and it wasn't that bad. Hardly recognize myself. It's horrible. Except that we went to the beach the other day, and I was talking to this old man that I sort of know, and he was telling me the strangest things, and there was a bug inside my bathing suit, and he was biting and biting me. And I'm like, I know this guy is not, I mean, it's not like talking to a young man. But at the same time, I'm not going to stick my hand inside my bathing suit and get the bug out. So I just had to put up with it. And
I
forget why that was relevant. It seemed like it was relevant a second ago. And I don't know.
Have you hit anything today?
Yes.
Okay.
I went through the Wendy's drive-thru.
Oh, and I love that.
I had fries and a salad because it's Friday and I didn't have any meat.
Oh, good for you.
But
I'm terrible
I did have
about
the fries.
That lately.
Yeah, I know.
I'm terrible about a lot of things.
Terrible about a lot of things. But... at least you don't... never mind.
I don't stick my hands down my pants anymore.
Okay. I was going to say you don't get inside my bathing suit and bite my butt like that bug. this is a family podcast.
I wasn't
podcast.
At the beach.
Yeah, I know. It's all about opportunity. I think we should start with the list of things that you wanted to talk about.
Well, here's the thing. Since we're changing things up... Oh, no, I lost it. Hang on. We are changing things up.
Yeah.
And I think you could do a better job with this whole lady blogging thing. Frankly.
Okay. So do you consider me a lady blogger, would you say? Not
you
so
a,
much a mommy blogger,
are
but
you
a lady. Yes. Most
you
of the time.
You have lady parts?
Yes.
And you blog?
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. Are you a man reporter?
No, I'm just a reporter. All reporters are male.
Okay.
It's like in the language.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
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 Why not? I've been doing some extensive research on what lady bloggers blog about.
Yep.
What ladies seem to want to talk about.
Okay.
And I've come up with a list of ideas for you, for some articles for you to write. These are the headlines.
You
can take it away from there. I think you can fill it in.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I have not heard any of these. This is an important disclaimer. This is all fresh to me, and I'm as shocked as you are.
All right.
I just want that on the record.
It's gold here. These are million-dollar ideas.
Okay.
I'm telling you. All right, the first one I have is, my favorite book from childhood is really all about periods.
Well, you know, okay, laugh if you will, but if guys had periods, we literally would not ever talk about anything else. So.
No, we have erections, and that's what we talk about.
No.
Have you heard a Rolling Stones song?
Yeah.
All right, next one. Mm-hmm. Say goodbye to vacuum cleaner elbow.
Okay. That's silly.
Well, I mean, these are, you know, these are health concerns.
Yeah.
You combine like the health concern and the cleaning concern.
Okay. I don't have a cleaning concern. I would have to do research on that one because
I'm guessing
we do own a vacuum cleaner.
We do not own a vacuum
cleaner. We do. It's upstairs. It's lying down.
Oh, yeah.
It's lying down.
It doesn't suck.
No, it doesn't.
That's
the
problem.
One thing in our house. All right. Continue.
Okay. Dresses that make him say, meow.
What?
Ladies like cats and they like dressing up. And they like impressing their men.
Okay, can I just pause this for a second?
Yes.
He was sitting there on the other side of the bed and kind of giggling to himself and saying, oh, that's a good one. I don't have one. I'm still waiting.
Oh, we haven't gotten to that one yet.
Okay, I was waiting for the good one to come.
We got a couple more here. I got a couple more ideas.
Oh, hooray.
Next one, do the Larry. And I don't know what to do with that.
That's not a lady blog thing. You're getting that.
I think that's a good idea.
I think you're missing the mark on that one.
All right. This last one I know is pure gold.
Okay.
10 steps to a tuna free wedding.
Okay. for the vegan crowd, I guess.
I don't know. Step one, don't fucking serve tuna.
Step two,
don't dress in tuna. Yeah. Well, we'll
Step
get there.
Three.
You got lists.
We had a tuna-free wedding.
We did.
We had French onion soup. We had many deli platters.
That was good. Apples everywhere.
Apples everywhere.
Tons
because
of
they
wine.
Were way cheaper than flowers. We got married in October, and there were apples of all different apple colors all over
what
the place.
What kind of nuts get married in October?
Well, people in a hurry.
That's right. That's a good point.
That's all there is to it. All right. Well, I don't know, Damien. I got to say, I love you very much.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I don't work for you.
It's not, lady blogging obviously is not my expertise, but I think we could punch things up a little bit.
We could punch things up a little bit. I will take it under consideration.
Have you thought of like a calendar spread? Like the ladies of lady blogging?
The ladies of, oh.
You get a bunch of lady bloggers together and they take their clothes off for a calendar.
Okay. The bad part is, all my friends are, like, they don't even subscribe to the podcast, and they're like, I will. They don't even know what it is, but they would. So, batten down the hatches, I guess.
All right. Well, I think that's another winner.
All right. Well, boy, you know, I don't think you know as much as you think you do about women.
It's entirely possible.
I mean, it's definitely gotten you this far. Speaking of October, we are looming in on 20 years of marriage.
Yikes.
Damien.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I looked it up, and you cannot get a papal blessing for 20 years. You have to hold out for 25 years,
that's
apparently.
Horseshit.
Yeah, I think maybe they had one at 10 years, but then they're like, if you made it that far, you can hold out for 25.
That's really...
Which is true. I mean, I'm planning
to. Yeah, I mean, but still.
Yeah. I'm holding out for the next pope, to be honest with you. Like... A blessing from Pope Francis, like, oh, that's hard to get. He doesn't like people.
Well, he's not as bad as John Paul II.
Yeah, I know, but he was so cute. Oh, what a handsome man.
I mean, John Paul II, he was just blessing everything.
I know. He had that, there was that, you know that picture of him with a koala.
I love that.
That's amazing. The look on his face is like, I will hold this koala, but not forever. Somebody needs to come
Koalas
and take
are
the koala.
Terrible.
I know. You can see. They have those black claws.
They smell so bad.
Yeah.
They smell like pee. And they eat nothing but eucalyptus, so it's eucalyptus pee.
Oh.
It's awful.
Is that, you would think that would be a good thing, like asparagus pee, but it's
no,
not. It's
oh,
not.
No. Oh, no.
All right. So you lived in Australia for a couple of years. Were there like koalas running around?
No. Well, I mean, when we lived in Queensland, sometimes at night they would sort of be slowly walking across the road.
Okay. How big are they actually?
Like raccoonish size. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're really dumb, slow animals.
Would they like get into your garbage and stuff like raccoons?
No, I don't remember that. We used to have fruit bats, like really, you remember in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Yes.
The giant vampire bats?
Yes.
Those are actually fruit bats.
Okay.
So we would have actually those fuckers flying around our house at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And they screech.
Oh.
We also had flying cockroaches.
Oh.
That was the worst.
That was really
the bugs were really the worst part about Australia.
And, I like Australians
and the
a
sharks.
Lot, but
we lived this was in Queensland again. We lived in Sydney and in Queensland. And in Queensland, it's much more rural. They don't have daylight savings times there because they're afraid it'll confuse the cows. And we lived in this development called Paradise Point, and they dug these canals in from the ocean as like a water feature for the...
Okay.
And, well, bull sharks would swim in from the ocean to have their babies there. So we had these large... You couldn't go in near the water because there were these large, you know, hungry-ish sharks in there.
Okay, you couldn't go in the water or you couldn't go near the water? Like, were they, like, leaping out to take bites of people from the water feature? Was that a thing?
Bull sharks are kind of mean.
I don't know what...
I wouldn't go near there.
Yeah, so you weren't, like, throwing bread to them
or something? We also... You know, when you go to the beach, they have the... You only go to the beach with the shark nets.
I think that's so crazy. I think that's everything that you need to know about Australians, because they're not like, well, we can't go in the ocean. They're like, well, stay behind the net. That's not,
but
that's...
what if there's a hole in the net?
I know.
You got to swim all the way down to find out.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I mean, and the sharks have had all this time to figure out what to do about the nets.
Well, sharks are stupid.
Are they?
Yeah.
I thought they were smart.
No, they're stupid.
Oh.
But I do have to say, Australians are pretty much the best people on the planet.
So far. You know, when I was going to Rome, and I had two suitcases that had all my books in them, all my clothes in them, and all my books to read all semester in Rome, and I was trying to get all the way to the top of this tremendously high staircase, and I was so tired. I'd just been traveling and traveling for forever and ever and ever. I was stuck on a train, and I got put off the train, and it was terrible. And I'm just standing at the bottom, just looking up at the staircase, just apparently looking extremely sad. And these two Australian rugby players just came up and grabbed my suitcases and ran up the stairs and put them down and said, "No worries, love." And then they went off.
And they off.
It was awesome.
Yeah, those are Australians.
Yep, that was bitter. That was cool. That was pretty cool. All right, I'm going to change gears here. I know that, you know, apparently the great ruiner of podcasts with my stories and stuff. But I'm just saying, we need to,
you know, change things up a little bit.
I don't mind. I'm highly in favor of
certain... I do want to keep this podcast tuna free.
I will try.
All right.
I will super try. I heard a thing on the radio about that they're working on a vaccine for opioid addiction and also for other types of addictions.
Good.
And that it would work, you know, more or less in the same way as other vaccines. You know, it would work by stimulating your immune system to...
It's not going
to
work, but I think that's a good idea.
Well, they're working on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that didn't work at first. They've been working on it for 20 years or so, but in the life of medical research, that's not really a long time.
It's,
you know?
It's not. The problem of... addiction is not something that can be fixed with a vaccine.
That's the other thing. I mean, it's a very complicated idea. Like there are people,
you've got mental health issues playing into it. You have, I hate to say like generational systemic poverty, but that certainly plays a role into it. Certainly spiritual poverty plays a role.
That's what I was going to say.
So
I mean, there's a reason that people are subject to addiction because there is so much power. I mean, they don't have anything else to live for. And I'm not saying that this is true of all addicts. I'm just talking about why it's become such a problem.
Right.
It's not just about availability of drugs. You know, it's about why people are susceptible.
Right.
It's
like there was fertile ground there, and then the drugs became available through essentially marketing. And this is what we have now.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I was just wondering, I had to turn the radio off for some reason or other, but I said to myself, I know that there are people out here who hate the idea of a vaccine for addiction because addiction is seen as, I mean, it's one thing to say that people become addicted because of spiritual poverty, and it's another thing to say that people become addicts because of a moral failing. It's not the same thing at all. You know,
right.
And remaining an addict does not mean continuing to sin. It's not the same thing. I mean, there's a lot of gray area when you're talking about free will and when you're talking about addiction.
Right.
But this is something. But it's not as gray as it's not as gray as people think, and it reminded me of it because just the other day I had, honest to goodness, being naive, thought that people had already worked past this idea, but I saw somebody the other day, a woman, young woman, I think in her 30s, a couple of kids, and she says that She is not going to get her kids the HPV vaccine because instead she is going to teach them chastity, and that's what everybody should do. And she was pretty like angry and contemptuous about it. Like, why don't they just do this instead? And it's so...
Why don't we use mirrors?
Well, why do we, you know, I mean, it's like the analogy that everybody says. It's a good analogy. Why do we tell kids to wear seatbelts? You know, why don't we just tell them don't speed and drive carefully? And if they get in an accident and they die because they don't have a seatbelt on, well, that's what happens when you sin. Like, well, on the other hand, maybe you love your children and you don't want them to die.
Yeah.
And then also sometimes people die in accidents that are caused by other people. And the same is true with HPV. I mean, what if our kids grow up and fall in love and marry somebody who, gee, I don't know, has a past that he's repented of, and somewhere along the way, you know,
right. Same token, I've heard people, I hope your listeners are aware, there is a drug that emergency services use when someone's having an overdose. It's naloxone. The name, one of the brand names is Narcan, mm-hmm. and it halts an overdose, an opioid-related overdose. So if you're ODing on heroin and you get an injection of Narcan, it stops it.
Right.
It saves lives.
Right.
And I've talked to people, cops, firefighters, who for a long time, they're like, yeah, we should just let them die.
Yeah.
It's not worth, because, you know, they go back and they give Narcan to the same people over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, if people are worth, if life is worth something, then they're worth saving. It's worth taking that chance on someone. And it's worth taking measures to save their life later on.
Right.
You know, the wages of sin are death, right? But that's not
that
how
doesn't,
we live.
Right. Just because it says that something happens in the Bible, that doesn't mean that's God's plan.
Right.
There's a lot of things that God says. I've heard people using, you know, the poor you will always have with you. Therefore, we shouldn't do anything to alleviate poverty because God wants there always to be poor people.
Like, yeah. If you read the Gospels honestly, and then you say to yourself, I don't think I should, I think I should let my child suffer from a disease that, you know, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You're a moral idiot.
I mean, which is not to say that obviously, okay, if you're giving somebody an overdose medication over and over again, you should also be offering other services to help them stop using drugs and help them, you know, find a job or find whatever it is that they need. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make sense to just keep on dragging somebody back from the brink of death over and over again. And it doesn't make sense to, you know, the same thing for, for any of the things that you save people from. It doesn't make sense to do that in isolation. But just because it doesn't work in isolation doesn't mean that you can't do it.
Right. I mean,
that means you have more responsibility, not less responsibility.
Exactly.
You know. Well, I hope you've all learned your lesson. Want to talk about the movie we saw?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was something else.
Get Out.
That was really
came
good.
Out, what, a couple of months ago? This year. I liked it a lot. I thought it was
very
great.
Good. It's not, you know, it's not a cure for cancer.
It wasn't a profound movie.
It's an entertaining movie. Yeah. Something on its mind.
Yep.
But it's not, I wouldn't say it's heavy-handed.
No. I mean, that was the thing, that it wasn't heavy-handed. I mean, it had a lot of, I wouldn't say it was necessarily winking at the audience, but it had a respect for the audience that the audience would understand certain jokes.
Yes.
And there were certain things that they could have gone heavy and instead they went light. And it was a very mature movie is the way that it struck me. It was, which is strange because it was the guy's debut, directorial debut.
It was Jordan Peele.
Yeah. From Key and Peele. And yeah, it was just, the first thing that struck me. Okay, so do you want to give a general synopsis of the movie?
Yeah, it's sort of a young African American is going home to meet his white girlfriend's parents, and things are not what they seem in Whiteville.
Yeah, it's kind of even worse than he imagined. He thought he was afraid that it was going to be kind of uncomfortable and they were going to be kind of racist, and it turns out it was way worse than that.
It's a sci-fi horror thriller. It has
elements of a lot of different kinds of movies.
It's got some good jump scares. It's got some really gory bits toward the end.
Yeah, not completely gross out intestines.
Yeah, it's not.
Kind of stuff.
It's definitely not like one of those what do they call it, torture porn movies. Mm-mm.
No, it's not. And I was afraid it was going to be, but it wasn't. Yeah, I thought It had some rather moving parts in it, but not too moving.
Yes. And that actor is pretty good. I don't know his name, the lead actor.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know the names of any actors anymore.
I know.
The good new ones, I don't know
who they are. Yeah, they're all like 16 years old. And I know. I don't know who they are. I know. That's right. Anyway, we recommend it, and we let the teenagers watch it, right?
We just the high schoolers.
Just the high schoolers, right. Not all the teenagers.
Not all the double digits, yeah.
Yeah, and I felt okay about that. It had a few sexy jokes, and it had a few implications of people sleeping with each other and stuff like that. And
yeah, there was
some bad language,
no boobs.
But it wasn't. Yeah, no, that's right. There wasn't
so
any
that
nudity.
That was good. There was nothing horribly gross.
No. One of the things that jumped out at me was the music in the very beginning, and then at the end too. It was this very, it was like really spooky music, very like voodoo, mystical, creepy music in some kind of non-specific foreign, possibly African language.
Right.
But it was being performed by like a very highly trained choir. And after I watched the movie, I got the joke because it's a bunch of white people singing what they think of as black people music, like scary
right.
black people music.
Right.
And that was
the joke.
Yeah. Yeah. But it wasn't like I didn't feel bad about being white at the end of it either.
Right.
Like
that's
it wasn't like that at
yeah.
all. It wasn't, it was just an enjoyable movie. It was very, very tightly knit. There weren't any wasted scenes.
Very, very polished and very,
very polished. Yeah.
It fulfills the basic function of a movie, which is to entertain you.
Yes,
and
imagine
if movies
that.
Don't entertain you, it's a failure.
I agree. All right, moving along. I just wanted to put in a plug for Magnificat, or as my son calls it,
Magnificat.
And then he has to giggle for a while.
Oh, man, he turns into a puddle of giggles. He's 15,
yep.
He's about 6'2",
yep.
And he is a ridiculous toddler.
Yeah, he kind of is. But anyway, so I finally signed up for a digital description. Subscription. Holy mackerel. And it gives you morning prayers. It gives you the readings from the Mass and the, intercessory prayers and stuff. It gives you evening prayers, and then it also gives you night prayers. It's short. It gives you, so you can do whatever you want. You can pick and choose. You can mix and match. It's got hymns, it's got readings from the Bible, it's got little clips from scripture, it's got prayers, it's got little bits of biography, and it's exactly what I was looking for. So I've been doing
that's really good.
Yeah, I've been doing the morning prayers on my own in the morning. It takes like 5 minutes or something, and then we've been doing the evening prayers with the kids. I don't think the kids like it, to be honest with you, but I don't care.
Isn't it too bad?
They're still our kids, and they have to pray with us, so... Oh, let me see how much time we have left. Do you want to talk about the submissive?
That nonsense.
Right.
My goodness. Well, here's the thing. We all had a good laugh on your Facebook page about that book. I don't want to be mean to this person, but it was basically like the surrendered houseplant.
The surrendered houseplant.
It was all about how women should just submit to their husbands.
Yeah, and by submit, she just meant like you have to be ready and waiting in bed any time of the day that he wants.
Which, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. The thing that really bothers me, it works from the assumption that, A, women don't actually like sex.
Right. That's the weird thing. It was all 100% about her duty and about building him up and about keeping him satisfied so he doesn't have to chase after hookers, you know, because
right.
that is something that, like, guys just sort of naturally do.
Well, they're just walking erections and they fall down on these ladies and there you go.
Oh man. Oh, I know. Well, that's the worst thing. I mean, people object to these things on the ground that it, you know, objectifies women and it doesn't respect women, but it's just as bad in the way that it sees men. It's so reductive. It's
ridiculous.
It's
disgusting. And I'm sorry. I don't understand not enjoying your time with your wife.
Yeah. Well,
I just don't get that.
If it's all a power play.
Right.
You know, I mean, she doesn't even technically need to be awake or,
Do they know how to do anything?
I don't know.
These guys?
I don't know. You'd think with all that practice.
Fellas, go out to eat once in a while. That's all.
And are you speaking of Chili's?
Chili's is good stuff.
Chili's is good stuff.
Good stuff, yeah.
All right, well, So somebody had posted this on my Facebook wall, and we were in, and oh my gosh, Joanne McPortland heroically spent the $4.99, bought the ebook, and basically she's a very fast reader. She read through most of it and was posting excerpts from it.
Her kid's grown, right? So she's got
yes. It was funny at first, and we were laughing and we were gasping and everything, and then slowly, gradually, we all started to feel like really like one of the things that this woman says is that, you know, when your husband is, you know, busy doing things to you in a godly way, like you might be distracted, you might be thinking about other things and worried about other things. So in order to give your full attention to him, you keep a notepad by your bed and write down the things so that it can be off your mind and you can attend to it later. And an example that she actually gave of something that you should write down so that you don't have to bother your husband with it is lump in breast.
I cry.
And that was when I stopped laughing.
Yeah.
Because that's not a marriage.
Well, no, it's
that's a hostage situation.
She's a piece of furniture as far as he's concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. And it went on like that. But the poor, oh my gosh, they've got 12 kids. And one of the daughters wrote this essay that the mother published, which was, I don't even know if the mother understood what the girl was saying, but it was about being in mint condition, and it was about the idea that you know you have to preserve your virginity and you have to keep yourself in mint condition. And she wrote out this very deftly constructed analogy where she was talking about having these beanie babies that everybody was investing in at the time and keeping the tags on and keeping them in their special little plastic boxes so that someday you would be able to cash in on your investment. And one by one, all of her friends took the beanie baby out of the box and played with it, and the tags came off and they got dirty and maybe they lost them and stuff, but hers was still there. And at first people thought it was cool, and then they thought it was a little strange, and now people look at her like she's really weird because her beanie baby, as it were, is still in mint condition. And she has been prepared her entire life to be a wife and a mother, and she isn't either one of those things because she's not married. She is the ripe old age of 25. She is a virgin, and she's 25, and she feels like she doesn't know what she's supposed to do with her life. She feels like she's past her prime, and she's questioning why she has bothered to keep herself in mint condition because it doesn't look like anybody's buying at this point.
Yeah, that's hard.
It was so sad because she had been taught to reduce herself to a product.
To a thing.
Yeah,
and Christianity reduces women to things when it's warped Christianity.
Right, that's not true Christianity. That's what people do to Christianity.
I was having a conversation with that goon of a son,
yep.
Our oldest son, and we were talking about a lot of things. And you know what? It all comes down to the devil hates women. That's when you look at the hatred of women from the left, which sees. Anybody in drag is a woman, apparently.
And,
and then the conservatives who just want them to be, you know, that box where they put their dicks and that's it.
Yeah.
It's all warped hatred of women because women win. It's true. I mean, it's a woman who wins in the end.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. But we're not there yet, are we? Well, I hate to say it, but we're almost at the end of our time here, and I chose out a poem, which is a little bit of a change of pace from the things that we were just talking about, and I don't think that's
Thank goodness.
Necessarily a problem.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, sorry guys, it's hot, it's raining.
Oh boy, I need more whiskey.
I think you do, and maybe another Snickers bar or two.
Can I have some tuna?
No!
Right answer.
Oh. Hey, I passed the first test.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. I passed the first test, and I don't know what the second test is.
You read this poem, then we're going to go do the Larry.
All right. Oh, okay. All right. This is The Frog by Hilaire Belloc, okay? Be kind and tender to the frog, and do not call him names as Slimy Skin or Pollywog or likewise Ugly James or Gape a Grin or Toad Gone Wrong. Or Billy Bandy Knees, the frog is justly sensitive to epithets like these. No animal will more repay a treatment kind and fair, at least so lonely people say, who keep a frog. And by the way, they are extremely rare. Well, there you have it.
All right, let's go.
All right, well. Thanks for listening, I guess.